So which one of us do you think misses Russ the most? Because I know for me, like, I haven't stopped crying, I guess, since he told us that he wouldn't be on this episode. Like, he texted us, like, hey, guys, just had a baby. So happy, the miracle of life, and I finally get it, and games don't really matter, and that's the secret that you learn when you finally have a child, and you feel that happiness and joy in your heart. I just started crying right then, and I really haven't stopped.
Oh, wow. Have you been in contact with him?
Not at all.
Oh.
Not aside from that one text of him saying he would be missing. And I started to text him. I was like, hey, man, congratulations. Welcome to fatherhood. It's such a big thing, and it's going to be a huge leap in your life. I'm so proud of you and so happy for you. But then I saw that The Mole was on Netflix, and I just started to watch The Mole instead. So I did not end up actually texting him to congratulate him.
I've been texting him, like, a lot.
Yeah.
To a point where I'm sort of like, are you sure you're doing everything you need to do?
As a father,
you know
that's
what I mean?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because he's
already dropped the ball just because of how much you've been texting.
Right, exactly.
I actually have an explanation for that, because I haven't been texting him at all, but yeah, I have been taking care of him, his wife, and his child. I cut the umbilical
cord.
There
it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
He has been changing his child's diaper, but while doing that, I've changed his diaper.
Yeah. And yeah. I know that you've allowed his son, you've sort of been a wet nurse to him, allowed him to sup at your teat.
I really think
that's fantastic.
That's awesome.
I think that's lovely, dude. That's so... Hey, a lot of dudes like you and me and Griffin wouldn't be, like, so comfortable to let another man's young baby sup at their teat. And I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud of you. Hey, do you guys think it's wild that he named his baby Egg Sandwich?
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best games of the year.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best games of the year.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the best games of the year.
Russ isn't here. Jokes aside, congratulations, Russ. I think the three of us are joined in overwhelming
our
joy
support
for our boy, Russ Freshdick.
Yeah, he's definitely listening to this show. That's definitely,
he's definitely for sure listening, 100%. First download, first in, last out, definitely.
So this is the besties. It's a video game club, and just by listening, you, my friend, are a member, and we're so happy to have you. We're gonna be taking a look back now. We moved so fast through all these huge releases of 2021 that we wanted to take a second, slow down, and just see where we're at right now, and kind of make this is our idea. We kind of want to do a utterly non-binding, because Russ isn't here, but if we were kind of making, and we don't even do the brackets like this, but if we were to make an eight, you know, an elite eight
of
the games that are out so far this year, what would make the cut? That's it. That's all we're going to do. So we're going to go through the episodes we've done so far this year, and probably you guys might have some other additions that we didn't touch on, so that would be I'd love to hear those as well. Let's take it all the way back to our first episode of the year. Who can remember the first episode?
It couldn't have been a big one, huh? I should be looking at a list of it.
It was a massive one.
Was it?
But it was technically a 2020 game.
Strike it from the record then. Just because we're tardy, that doesn't mean that the game gets...
But we didn't consider it for 2020.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
And we're not going to consider it for 2021.
Oh, is it Cyberpunk?
It's Cyberpunk, baby. Cyberpunk, I feel like, is a real clean miss and a whiff. Have you guys gone back to Cyberpunk at all?
God, no. No, I didn't realize also, it just made the news that it just got added back to the PlayStation Network store. Yeah. I did not realize it had been off the PSN store for...
Oh, the whole time. Yeah,
did you see the video of it on running on a PS4?
On a PS4, like a core PS4, not a PS4 Pro? Or,
yeah, it looks like No More Heroes, like on the Wii, where it's like, we have a big open world, but there are no cars or people in it.
That
they just
awesome.
All left.
Yeah, I'm into that.
It's weird. I mean, I think from all of January, the game that stuck out for that month was Hitman 3.
That is, definitely one of my, because that game turned me on to the whole franchise, which is awesome because of the way that it also encapsulates the whole franchise, and you can go back and play all the Hitman games with the, like, sort of Hitman 3 style and mechanics. That was the game that I basically played more or less all the way through February. Mm-hmm. That is high on the list for me for GOTY contender at this point. I think it kicks ass.
After Hitman 3, which I think definitely makes this list, it's fantastic. We dipped into some early access stuff that maybe we will return to. Of the games that we talked about in this episode, Teardown, Ender Lilies, Subnautica, and Everspace 2. Subnautica Below Zero, technically out, have talked about it, will return to later in this recap, I think.
Yeah. I love how much this feels like a clip show, but we don't have clips.
No, it's a clip show without clips.
Of those four, I think Ender Lilies is the one I've been thinking about the most, because I think it's coming out very soon. Or is it out on Switch? It's out. Oh, yeah, it's out on Switch this week. I have been playing it, and it was obviously not finished when we were playing it for this early access episode. And just the simple act of having that big, very beautiful Metroidvania on the Switch is really scratching the Hollow Knight itch. Specifically the Hollow Knight Silksong itch that has become a more or less a perennial rash. Just it won't go away until they finally acknowledge that that game exists again. But Ender Lilies is a good ass Metroidvania. It's fantastic. I'm excited to put a little bit more time into it because I just started this week.
The other one that I would call out from that list for people who may have missed the episode is Teardown, which is a heist game, but the world is made of voxels and you can destroy everything. So the entire hook of the game is to create these kind of lines throughout a city of destruction where you can rob an entire kind of, I don't know, a factory or a boat town all within a certain amount of time. Because once you start the heist, you set off an alarm and the clock starts ticking. That is one of those games, kind of like Hard Space Shipbreaker from last year, where I am trying to put off going back to it as long as possible because I want to go back to it once it's in like a really polished and final state. I'm glad I got to spend some time with it early on, but I think it needs like a little bit more.
The next game we need to adjudicate here, Little Nightmares 2. Completely forgot about this little, gem. It was kind of cute, though. I kind of dug it.
I mean, it was not cute is not the word I would use to describe it.
I just mean in the sense that like it didn't ask a lot from you, and I think that it was a pleasant little thing.
Yeah. No, I enjoy a game like that. I don't know that it hits that top eight mark for me, maybe it would be different if I like had a lot of experience with the first one and was like very like was anticipating this game at all instead of it being just kind of like a nice little snack.
Yeah, I feel like there have been a few games like this year that, you know, I feel like a hypocrite because we often bemoan the lack of like the mid-tier game.
Yeah,
right. We've actually got some in the form of Little Nightmares 2 and what is it? What's the Two of Us game?
Oh, it Takes Two?
It Takes Two.
Yeah.
And neither of those super clicked with me. I liked Little Nightmares 2
more. Hey, we gave
him
the besties bump. We did the best we could. We gave him the besties bump.
And that's
we
talked huge about him. That's huge for them. Even when we take like a huge shit on the games, like the people who make the games are like, wow, the besties bump. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, guys. CD Projekt Red like sent us emails like you guys and Ron Funches were like so mean about our game, but if we got that bump from you guys and we sure do appreciate it.
Unfortunately, the game was no longer for sale on the PlayStation
could not
store.
Purchase the game. Yes. I enjoyed that game, but it has not necessarily stuck with me. And similarly, and this one's kind of a surprise to me, I feel kind of the same way about the next game we covered, which was Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury. That game, I played that game for like a few days and did enough to like talk about it on the show. And I've even tried, Henry's like getting into games, particularly Mario. And I thought like, hey, this is the new colorful, you know, fun Mario game. I bet he'd be interested in watching it. And even that, like it's, I have not really returned to it. It's not, it did not make the splash that I thought it would.
I will say I was in a similar camp. And then after we recorded the episode, I went back and played more Bowser's Fury, which I really liked as a exercise. Like Bowser's Fury is a very smart, fun way of like making the experience of playing Mario like structured in a way that feels meaningful. And it actually solves a problem that I have with a lot of Mario games where it's like I'm not someone who's deep into just like churn through the levels and you know, I'm not motivated as much by like get your best time or, you know, get the most coins or whatever. But by putting this in a world where like you could unlock stuff and the world gradually changed the farther you progressed in it, it really sort of like made progress feel meaningful in a way that like a lot of Mario games don't for me.
Yeah, for sure. A very quick positivity check for our dear listeners, because I know people love listening to our show because we love those video games. And it might sound like we're a little blue, but there's a couple things that I think are like worth considering about this year. One, we're coming
Russ
out
isn't
of a global...
here right now. Russ isn't here right. Russ isn't here right now. He always buoys our spirits.
That's true. Also, we're just coming out of a pandemic, so a lot of games got bumped. So there just weren't as many big games, and we'll see a lot more of those in the second half. The other thing, and we'll get to this when we get to the reader mail, which thank you to everybody who sent stuff in. There were a ton of small games that were great this year.
The top game, according to Metacritic, like with a bullet, is a house called is a game called The House in Fata Morgana, which is a visual novel. It has a 98 on Metacritic, and I have not heard of this title, let alone have I not played it. So
I wish I could get down to the visual novel thing. It seems like it'd be so fun. Can't get there. So yes, that is a great point, Plant. And there's also like a weird kind of calculus you have to do when you make a show like ours, where it's like, even if one of us is very passionate about something, if it's not going to be something that a lot of people, like the broadest segment of the audience, are going to want to hear an episode about, sometimes it just doesn't make sense to do a whole episode about it.
Yeah.
Because you know we have to keep making the numbers. It's the number one.
It's a real behind the scenes episode.
Yeah, wow, we gotta keep churning out the huge numbers. you know what? So, does it make the list though? Because so far we got Hitman 3. And it's March, so I'm like, does it
tentative Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury makes the list? I really enjoyed it.
So the next unique individual game of this year that we touched on was Loop Hero.
Yeah, this one's big. This one's big for me.
I really love Loop Hero.
I've been jonesing to get back into Loop Hero, and I'm curious, like, if they have. That seems like the kind of game that if they add a new character class or they add, you know, even some new cards to the mix, like, I will want to dip my snoot right back in there to see what's going on. It's also the kind of game that I wouldn't mind starting over, kind of knowing now what I know about how it works. Like, it seems it's that... I think about that game a lot. I think it's definitely up there for me.
Yeah, I've come to, like... I'm trying to train myself to appreciate games like this. I used to get really mad at games that I could feel were wasting my time transparently. And this is a game that, like, oh my gosh, it takes your time. It puts it on the bonfire and it lights a match. It just burns through your time. And it has all the addictive hooks. But I don't know, I especially again, kind of coming off the pandemic and dealing with my own anxiety. I think there's part of me that's like, yo, that's a me problem, not the game problem. Like, I need to learn to be able to like chill out and be okay with like the idea of relaxing for the purpose of relaxing.
God, it's really Plant. You know what, bud? I struggle with that every time. Like, it's like I've been on the hunt, right, pretty much constantly for years, but like certainly more this year as my anxiety has started to like be pretty bad for like it sounds so stupid to say it now, but like games where you like learn something, right? So like games where you are getting some sort of actual skill and not just like playing a fun video game. Like, it's not enough for me to just be like, oh, this is enjoyable and pleasant and I like doing it. It has to be associated with guilt. So like, I'm like looking for like, maybe there's something where it's like, I'm also going to learn like the metrics system or something. Man, you know what I mean? Like maybe something that can like teach me something while I'm also playing it.
Yeah.
That's a dysfunction of, that's a fault. That's user error.
A fault in your stars. Yeah. No, I just like to bonk the dudes and watch the number go up. So I don't know what you, I don't know what the issue is. I think Loop Hero absolutely rips ass.
I think it definitely deserves a spot.
I love Loop Hero. That was not what I ended up doing, was doing things while I was playing Loop Hero.
And that's fine. I think that that's the way that it's okay to engage with it in that way. So that's why I feel like it doesn't necessarily waste your time.
That's why I actually was going to say is that it. I feel like because it is designed to allow for that sort of approach. Like if you want to go off into another tab and watch videos about woodworking, and then you're like, oh fuck, I was playing Loop Hero, I'm dead. Yeah. Okay, I'll start over. it does not want to penalize that. Right after Loop Hero, now you're going to help me with this one, playing, because I did not. It Takes Two. I neither played this game nor did not listen to the episode.
Really busy. Wow. Really
so busy. Don't really. I'm not a podcast guy.
Wow. A lot of people love this game. I think so. Again, the way this game works, it is a co-op exclusive. You play a married couple who hates each other, and you have to learn to love again so that your child can apparently grow up in a home that is atomically correct.
Can I say, before you get into it, I just want to say, as an outside observer, it seems like this is a weirdly divisive one. Like, in a way that most video games aren't a lot anymore, it seems like that we kind of have a consensus for like, it's pretty good, but it's not great. This one feels like has some very vocal like critics and proponents.
I think it all boils down to how much of a stomach you have for the story. Like, I think the gameplay itself is beautiful. I mean, the visuals are like very striking. It has a lot of cool stuff. You're itty bitty and you're going through kind of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids type of backyard and house. And for the most part, it moves at a good clip. And the puzzles are pretty fun. There are a few moments that are like, oh, wow, they've really figured out something new with co-op. And I think anytime you do something like that, it goes a long way towards making people who want more co-op games to get super hyped. But I find the story like truly awful. Like I find it like a profoundly toxic experience.
Is it awful? I don't know how to necessarily like. Is it awful in the sense of like the narrative doesn't function, or is it awful in the sense of like you feel like the lessons that it's divining are like pretty reprehensible?
I think a few different things. On a purely, does it make sense in like Aristotelian structure, it's pretty solid.
Whoa.
Like, confidently written, right? But in terms of what it is saying about marriage and family, I find it doesn't work. In terms of how it is setting up like relationships between people, I don't think it works. And then there's this like truly annoying Book of Love, who I think I have come to understand why this character is in the game, which is you would hate the characters you're playing as. You would truly despise them if there was not something even more annoying than them. But by putting this character there, you're like, cool. Like, we can all agree that that guy sucks even more, and that will bring us together. Like, that is how we will find love again. I also just, the tone is so all over the place. Sometimes it feels like it is a game for like 5-year-olds. Other times you are like brutally murdering a toy while it begs for its life.
Awesome. I love that shit.
Yeah. It's wild. It is one of those games that like, honestly, especially if it is on Game Pass or EA Play or whatever.
Yeah.
You should play it. Like you should play it because it's just, it is one of those games that like, I just can't believe it exists. And I think honestly, I probably would have even liked it better if I went into it just knowing like, hey, The story, you just ignore it. You know, skip the cutscenes. Just play this to see all the absolutely bonkers stuff that happens. I think it would be really, not really. I think it would be enjoyable in that way. Yeah. But yeah, the story just did not work. So for now, I think we leave it off the top eight. But,
yeah, sounds like it.
But I think this is a game that I would like y'all to try before the sure. end of the year. And yeah. For the listeners, like, you know, at the end of the year, we always do a bracket that gets a few games into our final bracket based off of like listener preference and gets us to reconsider some games. If everybody who listens to the show likes it, I'd be happy to like revisit it and give it another shot.
Sure.
Really, really like this game. The next one is not so secret, though. And I feel like this is one that's a walk, and that's Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah, baby.
That one's just going to get on there. Now, Griffin, you can finally kind of drop your pants and do whatever it is. I don't have a metaphor.
Yeah, but, I don't. Know, just whatever the metaphor is, it's not going to involve me disrobing.
Going to jail.
No. No, this game absolutely is so good. It's so good. I can't believe how good this game is. With every new update, they keep adding new monsters, and that is enough to like bring me back in and get me crawling towards some new armor set or some new thing. It's just every weapon is so tight. And this was, I played like three main weapons in Monster Hunter World, which I played hundreds of hours of. And then in Monster Hunter Rise, I am playing completely different weapons because it's all fucking good. Like, it's all very, very, very good. And this is my game of the year by a pretty huge margin at this point. I think it could be unseated by something that hits in a different way. Something maybe a little bit more narratively satisfying, because God knows Monster Hunter Rise didn't scratch that itch since it didn't have an ending when it came out. But it condenses down everything I like about Monster Hunter and then put it on the Switch in a time where like that was all I could really play. I think it came out like a few days before Gus was born. So like there were definitely a couple nights in the hospital where I just didn't sleep because the baby didn't sleep. And it was, it's, I like Monster Hunter Rise a lot. I think it's very good. I don't know that there's much else to say about it.
No, it's good.
I know that for Russ, I think it's probably up there for Russ also. So
absolutely.
I know he would support this decision.
If you've never played a Monster Hunter Rise game, and people are always, the question is always like, is this the one? Here's what I'll say. No, but it's never coming. It's not going to get better,
happen.
Folks.
Yeah.
That game's not, it's, you know what? They say time in the market beats timing the market.
Ooh, that's good juice.
That's very accurate for Monster Hunter, too. Yeah. Just go ahead and bite the bullet. You're not going to time the perfect entry point for this.
For me, it reminds me of the Dark Souls games where I don't always finish them, but the more I play them, the better prepared I am for the next one. And it seems like I've heard that with like Monster Hunter 2, where people are like, oh yeah, World was the one I tried. I kind of got into it. And then they tried, you know, Rise, and suddenly they're like, oh, okay, now I definitely get it.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I think that makes a lot of sense. It took me a few to get into it, but I never thought of that before, but it makes sense that it's like kind of cumulative. Maybe you can't enjoy the first one, right? It's like the Assassin's Creed of like, you're just getting the basics. You're not going to have fun.
Yeah.
But next time
that
you've got enough of the basics.
My first one was like Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate on the Wii U. And I was like, this is nothing. And then the next game I played, I think, was Monster Hunter World. And that was the one that I've like, or Monster Hunter Ultimate, one of the 3DS games. Okay.
I think we can skip Outriders. I think we all agree that that is.
I have heard that game got a patch recently that is, I don't know that it addressed sort of the technical
Outriders
things.
Whips ass, and it's definitely going on this list.
Whoa.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
You know how much Outriders I've played, guys?
No.
I'm going to have to go ahead and say that it's a lot of Outriders, which is a very fun game that is very stupid.
This I mean, is like, shocking to me.
I'm shocked.
It's unthinkably stupid. It's a great, you know, not unlike Loop Hero. I mean, they're basically clones of each other.
Basically.
Not unlike Loop Hero. It's a game where I can, like, do something with my good brain and let my reptilian brain, like, shoot aliens or whoever you're shooting.
Right.
I just remember it being pretty fun. I haven't dipped back into it because it had a lot of weirdness with, your gear getting deleted and stuff like
that. That's the update that I've heard, is that they've opened up the like fun weapon fire hose and did the like opposite of the thing that these always online games do, the opposite of holy shit, Anthem, where Anthem was
Anthem
like, uh-oh,
punished you for people having fun.
They're having too much fun. Get those guns out of there. They're doing the opposite. So I'm curious to dip into Outriders. Then we talked about Grand Theft Auto for like 100 years.
Can I put Outriders on? I've got the dock in front of me.
We can always take it off.
Yeah.
This meaningless list that we're using to structure this segment. Yes, we can take it off. Pokemon Snap, I didn't like at all, but I bet you guys probably did.
Not particularly.
I really enjoyed it, I think more than everybody else on the show, but I haven't gone back to it.
Yeah.
And I don't really have any desire to go back to it.
Do you feel differently about it? Returnal, which was the other game that we discussed this week.
So I have not actually played much Returnal because I have been waiting for... That is another game that I have on my wait till all the patches get added.
Right.
Because there was a lot of drama around saves and actually being able to save your game, and I figured I would wait that one out. How about y'all?
I had a very interesting experience with Returnal that, not very interesting, but I played it a lot and got extremely frustrated. It is a very frustrating game. It is the kind of game, you talk about that like, oh, I've wasted my time. That sort of broken part of my brain that feels like games have to be edifying in some way. They can't just be fun. It was not uncommon to have like an hour and a half run that just gets undone in 15 seconds of bad luck. And that is absolutely infuriating. And to a point where I was like, I can't play this anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm going to stand up and walk away. I'm deleting the game from my PS5. I can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah. But
then like fast forward to a month later and I'm like, it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I might just dip back in and just real quick see if I'm like somehow magically better at it. And the skill loss was so bad that it was like, it was so much worse than when I had quit playing.
Yeah.
Which is, Jeff Gerstmann on Giant Bomb said had the exact same experience where he's like, I tried to dip back in. It had gotten so much harder because the skills were so much worse that it was like impossible to get back in. So like it very kind of frustrated because like I like a lot of the things Returnal is doing. The guns are cool. The story's kind of interesting. It looks great. I just wish it was a little bit more accessible for me, a commoner.
Yeah, this came out while I was sort of on paternity leave, and we had a very difficult time with our second child, and in many ways still are having a difficult time with him. And so like this was the opposite of the kind of game that I was able to play at the time. So right. I have not dipped into Returnal because I was kind of waiting for it to get patched, and then guess what? Other games started to come out that were very good. So I haven't taken the time yet.
I'll speak for Fresh on this. Hey, I'm walking here. Bagels. I liked it. It was too easy. I beat it all real fast. And all you got to do is get the one good weapon. And that sounded like a recording of him.
Far off.
Yeah.
Russ is so irritatingly good at video games.
I know.
Video games.
It's very
just
wild.
When you think you're like making a little bit of progress, it was just like, yeah, I beat it. And I moved on to the DLC and it was too easy.
I played Binding of Isaac with him because that was a deal after he played Nier Automata. And I was like, I don't have much time for this. He's like, don't worry. We'll play co-op and I will literally just run you through the game. So he like literally dragged me through a run of that game in like an hour. It was great. Great
is
game.
That, hold on, is that new?
The new stuff is out. Switch? I think out on Switch too.
The next one we had was kind of a recap thing. We talked about Subnautica Below Zero, which I think is
baby.
Are you really?
I miss Resident Evil. Resident Evil 8 is absolutely a slam dunk. I think we called it the best Resident Evil game ever.
We've talked about how it's the best Resident Evil game for three episodes, so I don't know that we have to belabor the point necessarily.
Yeah,
it's a good-ass game.
I just
want to
put it on because it is absolutely good. We had... He told my dad. Dad was looking for something to play. Dad somehow was playing the...
Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, the remake that just came out. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, how's this? And Griffin's like, it was good on PS2. And Dad's like, okay, not new, huh? And Griffin's like, you should check out Resident Evil 8.
No, Travis is obsessed with Resident Evil 8.
You should check out Resident Evil 8. And Dad's like, do you mean, is this a trick? Do you mean Resident Evil, like, from 1996? No, Dad, this is a franchise that has been going on for 25 years. So Dad just, like, became aware the first Resident Evil was like, bye, never play this again. I hope he played it. He might like it. I think that this is, like, it's so fucking good. Yeah, it's really good. I kind of want to be playing it now. It's really great.
So the games of spring had Subnautica Below Zero, for real, Nier Replicant, the Mass Effect Trilogy Remaster, and Clap Hands Golf, which I think we should put on the list, because if we didn't, Russ would be upset.
I know he's deeply into it, but he's not here.
So oh, and I'm also, and also that Mii game, Miitopia.
It's also very good. Yeah, Miitopia.
That was the next
That was a
week.
Different episode, yeah.
Oh, you mean across all of that. Yeah, I mean,
I would like to say that probably Subnautica does not make it, because I feel like I think it's very cool. I don't think it's different enough from the first Subnautica.
New Replicant, unquestionably makes
questionably
the top eight.
Is on it. Yeah. Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah. It is. It is extremely good. Like I know that we've had like kind of up and down conversations about it, and it has its flaws, but compared to the stuff that we're talking about, it is very good. And a number of people on Twitter have asked us to do an actual Nier Replicant episode. I think we might hold that until Frush is back, since he did all the muscle work of playing Automata, but we'll get around to that eventually.
Griff, have you, you're not like...
No, tell me when we're going to do that, and I'll finally do my Nier time.
Just go ahead and get it, start playing it. It's a fun video game.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Replicant is fun. I mean, Replicant is fun. It's like a little bit, it's not like hard or weird or inaccessible or anything. It's just like, I don't know. It's just a good video.
I think you'll enjoy it, Griffin, once you get started.
I think I will too. For sure.
Clap Hands Golf is it?
Clap Hands Golf, we can leave off because we're going to talk about something else at the end of the episode.
Wow. Okay. What about this Mii thing? I've completely missed that.
No, I don't know the Miitopia charts. Sorry, Miitopia.
No way.
No. And then I think then we did our Resident Evil series, and then the
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank, right? Yeah, I think is definitely on there also.
I think that's great. I think I've almost beat it. I stuck with it. I think I've almost beat it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a very good
game. It's just like so fun to play, and the playing of it is very good. It's just very enjoyable to play. I feel, you know what, I will say this. A tip, if you have not gotten into this game, which a lot of people probably haven't and will eventually because they can't get a freaking PS5. I think I probably paid too much attention to leveling up weapons because nothing the game asks you to do demands very leveled up weapons.
Right.
And so I think I probably played with weapons I didn't enjoy as much in the hopes of like grinding them up to their maximum level, and I wish I just like stuck with the guns I like, because it is not required that any of these guns be leveled up. Just play and have fun, because it's very fun.
I just dropped in Slack the games. It looks like we have 11 on this list, and we can take off we're gonna take off Clap Hands again. This is not legally binding.
I feel like Ender Lilies, we're going to talk about that at some point, right? Like,
I mean, it's out now. Like, it just came out on Switch and
I started
consoles,
kind of playing it. So. It's like one of those.
Okay, cool. Hitman 3, Teardown, but maybe Teardown we take off. That leaves
let's
us.
Let's actually just talk about what we know we're going to keep. That'll probably be easier.
Hitman 3, for sure.
Hitman 3, Monster Hunter Rise, Resident Evil 8, Nier, Ratchet and Clank.
Loop Hero for me.
Loop Hero. So
I would like to include Loop Hero in that list.
The only two that I have as sort of question marks then are Bowser's Fury and Outriders are the other two.
I just don't have the experience. I feel like Ender Lilies is too new, Teardown is too early, and we might go back to check those out. But
this is again a completely meaningless thing.
It's meaningless.
Yes.
It's absolutely meaningless. But not any more or less meaningless than any other ranking that we do on the best.
Right, that's fair.
I love Clap Hands. I don't want to scare anybody away from playing more of that game. But there is a little game called Mario Golf coming out at the end of this week. We're going to talk about it next week.
But by the time this episode comes out, the game will be out. So you can now say that this game you've been secretly teasing like is so dope is has been Mario Golf.
I think we actually cut that from last week's episode.
Oh, did we? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they were worried about
it. It was so obvious like what game you were talking about. Okay.
I am extremely into Mario Golf and I'm really looking forward to talking about it.
Let's leave clap hands then. Let's give it this moment. You know, if it's about to be obliterated from memory, then let's give it this shining moment.
Well, is there room for it?
I think so. If we bump Bowser's Fury or Outriders, those are the two.
I think bump Outriders because I was alone in that and put clap hands on there.
Okay,
I like it. I like it. All right. Yeah, this is a good list.
So yeah, if you want to play like your heroes, the besties, the games from the first half of this year, the eight games from the first half of this year. Except for not Russ's opinions. Hitman 3, Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, Loop Hero, Monster Hunter Rise, Clap Hands Golf, Resident Evil 8, Near Replicant, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Good.
Not bad. You know what? Not a bad year for... It's been slow, I'll say, but there's some really good stuff on there.
Yeah, for sure. I think that we should see what our friends at home are talking about maybe after a quick break, because I bet they know some stuff we don't. Our friends at home have also played games that we didn't tell them to play, which feels like a betrayal, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
we're the tastemakers.
I thought we had an agreement.
But they're like the fifth bestie, you know?
That's
they're
true.
That extra bit we need. And we needed their help this year because if you look at our list, not enough indie games. And we've got some good small game recommendations on the listener mail.
Absolutely.
I'll dive into these right now. The first one is from Cameron. Monster Train's last Divinity expansion has now pushed it into being my second most played game of all time. Otherwise, the roguelite slot machine game, Luck Be a Landlord, is a lot of fun, and Alba was a charming experience that I 100%ed in an evening. I am 50% certain that Cameron is Justin. Because this just sounds like another excuse for Justin to talk about Monster Train.
Monster Train fucking rules.
I did not know there was an expansion out for it.
Yeah, I'm going to go play it now. Monster Train rules, Grifflands rule, those two games both rule. I got a new one of those coming up for you at the end of the episode, so stay tuned. These other two sound really good, and I haven't played them, but they sound... I know Russ has been banging the Alba drum for a while. Right? That's one that he's discussed. I might grab that on Switch. Roguelite slot machine, Luck Be a Landlord. That sounds good. I haven't checked that out, but it sounds good.
After this, we have from Rain Cloud, Backbone finally released this year, and I am in love with it. The combo of detective, furry, and gritty aesthetic has me hooked, and the twist was unexpected. Did any of you get to try this game?
No.
Help me understand this. I've never heard of it, but Google says that it was released in 2019, so...
I think that might have been when it popped up on Steam early. Let me pull it up really quick. Steam, I was born on January 1st, 1964. That's definitely true. this is like... It is a pixel noir aesthetic.
And this looks incredible.
Yeah, it looks awesome. It looks like you're like a raccoon detective in this very beautifully lit pixel city. Dang. Y'all, I think we need to play this game. Cool. It's rated M for sexual themes, strong language, use of drugs.
That's my shit.
Hell yeah. I am.
That's my thing.
Gonna give that a try. Thank you, Raincloud. Okay, after this. Here is the game that I am embarrassed that it is taking me this long to play. From Keenan, Chicory, A Colorful Tale has been such a great game for me. While the gameplay isn't really much to write home about, the presentation is spectacular. The music from At Curaine, incredible. The writing, humorous and heartwarming, definitely my favorite adventure game of the year. I have heard so much good stuff.
At Curaine is Lena Raine, the composer for Celeste. Just in case it mentions a Twitter tag and not the name.
Cool. After this, we've got from our boy Frankenstein. Cruelty Scott, Cruelty Squad is a bonkers low-poly cyberpunk immersive sim developed by one dude and released earlier this year. It's rough around the edges.
Holy shit, guys, real quick, just go, just look at something of this, quick. Holy God. Here, look, I'll link you. Here, look at the thing I'm looking at.
Shit, yes.
Holy God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. Yeah,
this is, Justin, can you describe what you're seeing?
It looks like if you
it looks like those
420 meme, like
a deep fried meme.
A deep fried meme. Yeah, it's, yeah. It looks deep like if you took a Chex Quest and put it in a haunted microwave for an hour and then took the disc out. This looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to go download this. This looks unhinged.
It's described as an immersive power fantasy simulator with tactical stealth elements set in a sewage-infused garbage world.
Oh, God, that's a Cruelty Squad. That looks great.
Thank you, Boy Frankenstein. After this, we got Catherine said, an airport for aliens currently run by dogs is one of the funniest and most heartwarming games I have ever played. This looks great. I have been like meaning to check this out forever, and I have a feeling this will be a game that we talk a lot about quite a bit in the second half of the year. We also got from the smallest possible E, Overboard by Inkle Studios. It's a short visual novel style murder mystery game, but you're the murderer and you have to wiggle your way out of it. The gameplay is looping short runs through an 8-hour day with dynamic characters, conversations, and outcomes. It's super neat. This game is on Switch, y'all. And, like, I really need to prioritize this. I have a big road trip coming up, and I'm downloading it ahead of it. Because Inkle, for people, Justin, you're a big Inkle fan, right?
Hold on. I'm clicking the to see. I think that they have done some really cool stuff. I've not played all these, but, like,
they did 80 Days. It's like a
triumph. The sorcery games are very, very cool. But, yeah, these are sort of, like, visual novel, interactive visual novel. More interactivity than visual novel usually indicates, I think. But yeah.
Justin, did
this just came out on Switch, I think. Right? I think it came out on personal computers a little bit ago, but yeah, this is
I've never
fantastic.
Played this. I'm sitting here feeling like a lot of the ways that I used to find out about video games have failed me. Like I'm not hearing about these great games. I'm very frustrated. This is the first time I hear about it. I mean, thank God for y'all, I guess. Tweet at me more with your fantastic game recommendations. Lastly here, Going Under, which released a work from home expansion in January. This is by Agro Crab Games. Great design, gameplay, music, but from Shiki D. is the recommender here. It asks the question of what if Hades was less sexy and edgy? What if weapon durability mechanic in Breath of the Wild was more fun?
One of those sounds
good.
Some
questions that I have not pondered before, but sure.
This looks good too. Hey, everybody, thank you. These are, I'm finally hitting a point where I can start really putting time into playing some honest God video games again. And now I feel like I have a big, delicious platter of games to dip into.
It's very exciting.
Y'all, what else have you been playing?
I got one real quick. Talked about Monster Train, talked about some of those other ones. I want to highlight Rogue Book, which is from the creators of Faria, one of the dudes who did, or Richard Garfield. One of those guys that created Magic the Gathering worked on Rogue Book. And it is a deck building game. The big evolution here in terms of these types of games, there is a deck building game. You have two characters that you're playing and you choose which two you're going to take out with you at the beginning, similar to Monster Train in that regard. And each character has different decks that do different stuff. There's a character that's more like block focused. There's one that's more like attack focused, whatever. And you learn how to like use their skills in conjunction with each other in ways that their skills like can kind of play off of each other. The thing that's really interesting about Roguebook is normally in these games, the path that you go through on each discrete adventure is pretty linear. There may be like one or two different paths you can take. Roguebook is on an hexagonal isometric map that you use ink to reveal. So exploration of the map is also like part of the gameplay mechanics. There are like towers that you can find that will blow open a wide area of the map. When you finish regular battles, you'll get a little bit of ink that you can use to maybe like create a path over to another area that you see that you'd like to explore. But basically, in addition to, and then like a lot of these times, these wide open areas, you'll just find like a healing potion or some gold or something that's like uniformly positive. So you want to be able to explore as much of the map as you can, because you're finding things all throughout the map that are increasing your skills. So in addition to just like cards and like getting more cards as a way of like marking progression, it's also enticing you into battles by with this promise of like, I'll be able to reveal more of the map and become like more able to take on the challenges that lie ahead. It's a very, very, very good one of those. Came out June 17th, so it's pretty new. Roguebook, all one word, Roguebook.
I'll make it brief because I feel like I'm turning myself into a character. There's a meme in the Final Fantasy 14 community, and it's like copy pasta of, have you played Final Fantasy 14, the award-winning MMORPG with a free trial up through level 60 and the beloved expansion Heavensward? I'm turning into that guy, but I missed a lot of that game because I'm a pretty late adopter of it. Two of my favorite Final Fantasy games ever are Final Fantasy Tactics and Final Fantasy 12. Both of which are set in like the same world of Ivalice. Vagrant Story also takes place in there. I've always really liked that stuff, and there is a whole like side story, a whole expansion of Final Fantasy XIV set in Ivalice that is essentially an expansion onto the story of Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, it builds on the actual canon narrative of Final Fantasy Tactics in a way that is like so rad. I just finished it up yesterday, and it's a good ass game. And that's
it. Can I get a quick playtime check from you, Griff, on Final Fantasy 14?
I've been playing it in a little half hour chunks, so it's not as it's not as terrible as you think it would be. Because I'm not. Here's the thing: I'm not playing it
What's the number though?
Probably like 10 hours. Nothing big. Probably like 5 or 6 hours. I'm not. What's great is I haven't gotten hooked into like the end game loot grind shit. Like, I'm just playing story missions and stuff like that, which are fairly respectful of your time. Having a good time with it. I to see two of my favorite Final Fantasy games that don't get a lot of sort of lip service become sort of playable in this way again is exciting.
I want you to force us to do an FF14 episode.
Hey, baby.
So I can justify
Endwalker comes out this fall, wrapping up the whole Heidelin sort of storyline. I think we're all
saying that one sentence was enough to turn me off of the idea of playing this game.
Oh no, you don't want to hear about the convocation of 14 and their summoning of Zodiar.
Oh my god,
Justin.
Chris Plant, save me.
Listen,
talk about a game for jocks.
No, it's important to admit when you're wrong, and this is me admitting I was wrong. We spent like a couple episodes talking about the Zelda games, and I was a little bit sour on Breath of the Wild because that game really pushed me away at a certain point years ago when the weapon durability stuff got to be too much and all the cooking and yada, yada, yada. Y'all, I restarted my save this week. I finally did it.
Are you playing regular mode or master mode?
Yeah, I'm playing regular mode. I'm trying to have fun.
I think master mode is more fun.
Oh my gosh. I restarted it, and so far, it is magical. Man, like, this isn't a surprise. It's a great game for everybody, but there really are some games that, we talked about this with Monster Hunter, where knowing the basics going into it from the top just makes it more welcoming and accommodating, and you know how to, like, I don't know, make the most of your time in that world. And that is my vibe with Breath of the Wild right now. I'm just like blasting through it. everything just works. A lot of the things that were, I don't know, maybe it was cool that they were a little puzzling back in the day, now just kind of makes sense, and it makes it easier, and I'm really, 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 really enjoying it. So, that is a reminder, again, that our opinions are fluid. So maybe It Takes Two is going to come back in the second half of 2021. Maybe. I can feel it, maybe.
You never know. Well, that's going to do it for us for this week. Russ has been playing parenting. He's been playing dad. I'm sure he's doing a great job at it. Next week, Chris Plant, set it up.
Next week, we're playing Mario Golf Super Rush, and I am so hyped to talk with you all about it. Justin, it's an action game. There's an entire area of the game that is like Breath of the Wild, but golf. It's wild. I mean,
here's my dream golf game. Someone at the beginning of the game, Bowser comes out and he's like, I have an announcement. Golf is illegal. All golf clubs are swords. If they started like that, I'm like, okay, now I'm into it. Now I'm in. Like, the goal of it is to play golf at the end because you use your swords to get your golf clubs back.
Yeah. So where can people find us, Justin?
They can, you know, anywhere. They've found us already. Certainly, if they're hearing this, they found us. Please help us to share the show. Support some of these smaller games that we talked about this week. That's a cool thing you can do. Check them out if they sound like something you would enjoy. You know, that's a tough beat trying to be an indie game developer. So get out there and support all those smaller games. I realized earlier that I was dismissive of Ender Lilies. I've just barely played it. I'll probably continue to play it.
It's really good.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm not dismissing it. That is going to do it for us for this week. Oh, we're at the Besties Pod on Twitter. You can follow us there if you want. That's where we do have a lot of these discussions. So it's a good place to follow us. That is going to do it for us for this week. So until next time, my name is Justin McElroy. And be sure to join us again next week for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends make the world's best games?
Besties!